This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Word on the street on Off the Ball.
With Braeburn, whatever the weather, Braeburn Coffee has you covered.
Made for your summer.
Hello, hello, and welcome along to Word on the Street, Da Classica.
There we go.
Yeah, way better.
I will preface this by saying I was in the throes of a fever.
Well, I think it's like the death of football, funeral bell.
This is probably the worst recency bias of all time.
I say Boxing Day.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Is there a problem? Absolutely. Is it shite? Absolutely. Will you watch it? Absolutely.
Hello, what's the crack? Welcome back to Word on the Street. Susanna here. I've got Rachel to my right and Dara is filling in for Eve today. So welcome along, Dara. I'm back in the hot seat, but we've got somebody much more important back in Ireland, back from the villa. Fitzy, welcome to the Off the Ball studio.
How are you? So much for having me.
No, thank you for coming in. Do you go by Fitzy, like generally?
Yeah. Yes. 100%. I think since I was 12, I was being called it. So if I walk down the street and someone says the S word, I won't turn around. Like,
okay.
It already is Fitzy. Yeah.
Because Tommy, our GA correspondent, only calls you Sean.
Well, I won't be meeting him, so he can cancel that interview. Not happening.
So what's the crack? You've been out like a month now, I'd say.
It sounds like you've been out of prison. You've been out about a month now, Fitzy.
Yeah. It's like, well, it's like a glorified prison in a way. Like, you know, obviously.
You are locked in, are you?
You're locked in, you can't leave, but lovely women, nice people, so it's a bit better crack than prison, I'd assume.
A bit better than prison. Yeah. And what's it been like since you've gotten out? You're obviously over back and forth between the UK and Ireland. It is
crazy. For like, obviously before with the football and stuff and a bit of TikTok, people would kind of recognise it a tiny bit, like nothing crazy. But now it's just literally every single person wherever you go. And then I think being in England, like having people come up to you there is wild, like, because that's just the unknown, like, I think. So it is cool. I do like it. But sometimes it can get a bit annoying when you just want to dance and stuff in nightclubs and stuff and people just keep coming. And you don't want to be like, no, because you don't want people coming around and say, oh, that fella's a prick. Like, do you know what I mean? Because if you do that once, people will say it. So trying people please is probably a bit too much.
Yeah.
But I think once you stay in one area and everyone around you has got a picture, then you can kind of dance in that area and just stay there. Do you know what I mean?
I was going to say, has the attention at any point been like a lot, like too much, or have you just been enjoying the ride?
Sometimes it can be a bit much. Like, sometimes we'll be out and we're like, oh, this is too much, we just need to go home.
Really?
Especially if I'm with Lola. Like, obviously if I'm with myself it's still bad, but obviously if Lola's there as well, it's just a double whammy. It's just the two of us getting bombarded. And she's, fair to her, she's not used to that ever. So it's like a whole new world for her. Even just at the club game the last day, she said she couldn't even really watch the match because there was people coming up. Like, yeah, every single person coming
up.
But she did like it. But obviously, like, she is new to it. So she did find it a bit overwhelming after. Like, she's like, Jesus, that was intense. Like, and she hasn't been on night out with me yet properly, so God help her when she's in coppers, honestly. She's not going to know what hit her, like.
I didn't realise that she wasn't kind of doing TikToks and in the influencer world before Love Island.
No, she hates social media. Like literally, it's her biggest fear, like, going on it and, like, posting stuff. Like, she's like, not a bit of me. But she said she'll try it and get into it a little bit. If it's not for her, it's not for her. But I think before, she didn't even post on stuff. She'd be texting on WhatsApp. She didn't even know, didn't really use Instagram or anything like that, you know what I mean?
Mad.
Or TikTok or anything, yeah. So it's a whole new world to her.
Yeah.
But she is 28, so she's a little bit older, like, so.
So her biggest reason for going on Love Island was actually to find you.
Yeah, it was, hopefully. But no, she said, kind of thing, same as everyone else, but she kind of applied just as a bit of crack. Mm. And then when, I think everyone does that as a bit of crack, but then if they get it, they're like, oh, okay, we'll go for it, like. And she did, and she even after the first day, I think, before she even got to bed, she didn't realise how kind of, it's just like how much, like, stop start there is. So obviously, when you see her sitting around the fire pit, like, that could take a few hours where it's like, you know, you need to be quiet, you need to blah. And she didn't realise it was like that. She thought it was just, you know, go in chats. I thought it was like that too. So after even just the first, like, kind of sit down stuff, she was thinking about going home because it was just so much not what she expected.
Oh, wow.
But then obviously she met me and she's like, oh, I'll give it a little bit longer and stuff. And no, she did enjoy it a good bit. But I think even after 3 weeks and stuff, it was getting a bit to her that it is a very intense environment. She did want to leave after like 3 weeks, I think. Just a bit much for her. But she said she just...
ready.
Give it a go. It's just, I think a few different things were bothering, like the makeup wasn't sticking or, because you have 3 hours to get ready. So when she did her hair, she'd be waiting like a few hours and then it'd be going back a bit. She's naturally curly, so a bit puffy like and stuff. There was just lots of stuff. The dresses they gave her just weren't fitting her and stuff. So, and she knew she was on TV, so she was always just kind of like, oh, it's a bit much, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you'd be so stressed.
yeah, there's a lot of stuff, but I think we just like take it day by day, and some days she had really good days, some days they're a bit tougher, but I think it's the same for everyone in there. Everyone has a few down moments and stuff, but that's what you have in there.
Yeah, I can imagine. And what about you? Were you ready to leave when you guys kind of volunteered?
Yeah, 100%. But I think everyone thinks just because I was standing there going that I like, I think I was doing that because I was just thinking about it. I was like, well, I love being here with her. Like, you spend 24 hours together every day with the boys having some crack. But I was like, realistically, we've had a kind of enough from it all. We didn't really like doing the challenges at the end, like kissing other people is just weird. Like, do you know what I mean? If we had a night out and said, I'll kiss that person for a bit of a game, like, I'd be absolutely not. Like, so I think we just, yeah, we were happy. We did talk about it a few times, so I was just kind of weighing it up, but I was really happy to go, yeah.
How did you find that? You're talking about your facial reaction to Lola suggesting that. Like, how do you find people scrutinising, like, what your face looks like for half a second?
They do it the whole time, like.
Yeah.
Even the snog Mary Pie thing when she goes, you're going to be my husband. I was like, obviously yeah. It's a joke, like, and everyone's like, oh God, he hates her. She's wearing the pants like Baby Reindeer vibes, watch out. Like,
aww.
And we still get it, like, it's hilarious. And we actually haven't told anyone this, but we did a really funny thing last day. But we don't know if we'll post it because it's a bit too much. Because, of course, she wears the pants and stuff. So we did a funny video with, like, a dog collar of me being the dog walking me, like, her bitch. Like, but we think that might be a bit much. Like, people think I'm a furry or something. So we might leave that out. We never know.
Do you guys mind that?
No, at the start of her, when we came out, she was told not to go on social media for a while because of all the death threats and stuff. And, like, I couldn't believe. Like, when you're in there, if you ask anyone, like, did they think that would happen to her out of all people? They were like, no, she's done nothing. Like, so just the way, you just don't see everything on the show. Like, do you know what I mean? So it's just the way, obviously, it is. But we were just watching stuff on my phone. And to be fair, we were laughing at all the kind of memes of her in the dictator outfits. Me strapped to like, a little carry-on thing. We're going down the aisle. I have no choice but to get married. So we thought, we did see the funny side as well. But as well, I actually just don't know where it's coming from. I think it's just because my face game is just terrible. I just always just going like that and stuff. Not happy with what's going on, but actually I'm happy.
Mm. Yeah, so like, are you conscious of your facial expressions in there? Because, you know, you probably, at the start, you might be thinking, right, everything I do here is being recorded. But I assume a couple of days in, even, you just get relaxed and you're being honest.
Yeah, you do get relaxed. And I think my facial expressions, just when she's talking or someone's talking, I'm trying to be serious or like, just normal. So I kind of just stare at stuff. So people think, oh God, he needs help, like Angela and stuff. But I'm just chilling. Like, I don't know. If I start laughing, they'd be like, oh, look, he's laughing at her. And if I'm serious, people are like, oh, he doesn't like her. So you can't win, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Has anything like absolutely mad happened since you come out? Like someone outrageous slipping into your DMs or like a meme that you were like, God, I really didn't see that coming?
A meme or anything? I don't know. There hasn't. Nothing too crazy. Obviously, there's loads of her that I didn't expect, and the whole angel thing. Didn't realize that was such a thing of her going angel, angel.
Yeah, she does say it a lot. No,
she does
or
say
is
it
that
a lot.
Just...
She said it all the time, but I didn't realize people outside of like watching, like were picking up. And she's a little catchphrase going like.
you didn't pick it up at the time. You didn't notice it much, did you?
No, I did notice she was doing it, but I didn't like. It's just what she does. Like, so I just, yeah. It's just like me saying what's the crack. Like, it's just her thing is angel. Like,
yeah, okay.
Mm. But no, nothing too crazy. Had some weird DMs like people. Asking like to do weird. So I remember someone texted me and they're like, I'll pay you $4,000 if you go to the park where your Gaelic shorts and you just rugby tackle me for the day. Isn't that the strange? Obviously, didn't do it by the way. Can I just say? But
$4,000.
Yeah, $4,000 is not bad, but no, we won't stoop to that yet. But it's just in case.
Have you, the Galway lads, it was Rob Finnerty was talking about his support for you and that you've had conversations before. Have you gone back through the group chats and had a look at what they're saying? Or
yeah, I have. I've been texting a good few of them stuff. And to be fair, it's actually all positive. Like, there hasn't been any bad stuff. Even when I was going, everyone's like, oh, go on, you can do it, or whatever. Like, telling me what girls you should be trying to go for, or whatever, just having the crack and stuff. But, like, no, Rob's hilarious. Like, he was kind of, I only told a few of the lads that I'd probably be going on, like, just a few of the close ones. Rob was one of them. And the whole time, he'd be like, oh, you need practice kissing on me. Like, come on, let's go. Like, just being funny, like, and stuff. But no, they've all been so supportive, even after coming out. Like, they're all asking to meet up and do stuff, like, and all that. So, no, it's very supportive, which is good.
Was there anyone on the panel that you were kind of dreading their reaction or even the conversation with Padraig Joyce? Like, are you nervous going in? Do you sit him down?
I was nervous telling him about it, to be fair, because it's probably not what you want to be here during championship. Like. But to be fair to him, I was actually telling him about it probably since I first did like the interview thing they asked me to do.
Okay.
So I was keeping him in the loop. I said, oh, just so you know, this is a possibility, this could be happening. Because I think if I just didn't say anything and then middle championship ride, I'm off. Like, it would look terrible. So I think the fact I kept him in the loop and the coaches, and obviously John Maher, because he was captain, I just felt he should know as well. And I was asking, do you think I should tell the lads now or wait, or just about what was going on? He said, no, don't say anything until you know 100%. But they knew the whole time, so it wasn't a shock to them. They knew it was coming, like.
And they were sportive.
Yeah, but it was just funny, like, people saying stuff online, like, oh, look, Fitzy, he's off. Yeah, he couldn't even go to the Roscommon game. Wouldn't even I was literally there in the stands with the team watching, like, and I just saw so many things, like, oh, he couldn't be arsed going to that and stuff, like. Just.
I was going to say, like, obviously the reaction from teammates and coaches has been positive, but fans, like, Galway fans online, when you obviously made the decision that you weren't going to do championship this year, were they, was there any anger from them, or, like, they all just thought it was...
I haven't scrolled back that far, okay, to be honest, but I know I've heard that there's a little bit of stuff, like, I think it's just the outlets, what the fuck's he doing that for? You know, that, you know, those kind of lads on the pub, be like, oh, what's that fucking Love Island shite? But I'd say they're watching it as well, so, don't know.
I'd say you increased the average age of the viewership of Love Island by, like, 40
years. I've had a few people
years.
Saying, like, grannies and granddads, everything were tuning in every night, so.
Like a hot spot up on the West of Ireland on the map. The producers the being like, what's going on? Night, like.
But, no, I'd say, yeah, I think... I think it's mostly positive though from everyone. Like, I haven't heard anything too bad. I've heard some people like, oh, I wish you were playing this year and stuff. Just kind of nice comments, but again, nothing bad. Like,
what was watching that Roscommon game like? Connacht final? Is it like that you decided to make the decision to leave at that stage and that's why you couldn't play?
No, well, I played the Leitrim game obviously, and then I knew I was going on, so I said I could be selfish and try and, you know, tog against Roscommon and say it after. I was like, no, that's not the right thing to do. So I knew, so I told Porrick. And then during the week, he was just like, you know, it's just because you won't be here going forward, it's probably best that, like, you know, we don't tog you. Because, and I said, oh, that's completely fair. Like, I understand going forward, if I'm not there, why would you play me? But it is tough watching on the sideline, knowing you can't do anything. Like, and that was such an intense game. Like, it was up 1 minute, down 1 minute, losing, winning. But yeah, that was a crazy game, to be honest. But Chad, it is what it is. We'll be back next year, I suppose.
Would you be second guessing yourself almost during that game, thinking, I'm leaving the summer of this behind to go into the complete unknown?
A bit. Like, I was kind of thinking, oh no, jeez, I'm leaving a lot. It's probably more because obviously I've been training since whatever, the end of November or whatever. When you're training, going up and down from Dublin every trip, you think, geez, I put this much effort in, you might just may as well stay. But then I think of the lads who go off to Australia or Erasmus and stuff. So it would have been nicer if I knew in September that I was going on, so I didn't have to commit. But again, I think committing as well and training with the lads only makes everyone else better. Like, you know, if you're whatever. So I think it wasn't a bad thing, I don't think, like training all that time. Because obviously lads get more out of it, you get a bit out of it, you still stay in shape for when you come back. And fair Porrick said if I ever got dumped or whatever, I was welcome back in. But unfortunately when I came out there, they lost about the same time. So yeah.
Did you only find out that they were out of the championship once you got out, or did anyone get the information into you while you were in there?
No, as soon as I got out, I think we got out at 6 a.m. because I didn't realise we were out, like, staying out on nights out that long in the garden.
6 a.m.?
6 a.m. was when we got dumped, yeah.
No way. No. You'd been up all night?
I feel like we get up at 1 p.m, maybe 2 p.m, and we go to bed about 5 or 6 every day.
So there's no clocks?
No clocks or nothing.
Right.
No. One time I think we got a glimpse of the time on the phone or something, and we went straight over to these wires in there and stood like this. And we could tell the time from that. So from then on, we just stand there like, oh, it's roughly 5 o'clock now, I think.
It's like the Truman Show or something. Yeah, literally, yeah. What's going
it actually
on.
Was like the Truman Show, because at one stage we heard bird noises, but we saw no birds. And we're like, where are these noises coming from?
Oh,
like,
creepy.
But yeah, not quite Truman Show though, because we're only there for a small while. That fell out of poor time.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
And tell me, what was the decision like? Obviously, you said you had been talking all the way through, but when you knew you were going to have to miss championship, you obviously didn't know how Galway were going to do. Like, was it a hard one, or was this a bit of a, like, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, I need to go for it?
No, it definitely was hard, a hard decision. I was thinking about it for a good while, but I was just thinking, like, it's just a once in a life opportunity. And like with Gaelic, I've been doing it for 4 years now, up and down from Dublin, like, I do love it and stuff, but I just think sometimes, not that everyone's going to like to hear it, but there is more to life than football. And I think anyone who thinks otherwise, if someone thinks that, that's fine, but I just think personally there's more to life. And I think at the end of your career, like, you want to be able to look back and say you did all their stuff as well. I think, but that's just me. Like, everyone could be different. Someone want to play every single year and love it. I do love it, but I just think it's nice to take a year break. And looking back now, I definitely don't regret it. Like, I would definitely advise lads, if you have something to do, definitely do it, because you'll always have the football there the next year, the year after. But if they'd won the All-Ireland without me, I would have been fuming.
I was about to ask that.
But technically, I'm still on the panel for a championship game, so I think I would have got the medal. But look, it doesn't matter anyway.
Really important.
I'd still count it, I think.
What was your action when you came out and you saw Mayo in the final?
oh my God, like, what is going on? Like, but to fair enough, I was actually happy when they won. I think everyone was happy. Nobody could actually be sour about it. When I came out, I said, what's been happening? Like Mayo won an All-Ireland final. They haven't been there in a while. But it's just, I think it's more because when we saw them in the league and stuff, they weren't unreal or anything. Like, they were good, but they weren't, you wouldn't be saying they'd be in the final. Like, you'd be thinking it would be more the, like, so Donegal's or, like, those teams. So the fact they were, is you just got to commend them. Like, fair play to them. And Andy Moran's first year as well. He's won All-Ireland. Kobe as well. He's just won All-Ireland. He can head off and just chill. And I think as well, it's nice for him that he's won, because I think a lad that young, like, he's won the All-Ireland, he can go off now. But I guarantee if they didn't win that final, he'd be getting so much abuse saying, you need to stay, you need to stay. People are only nice to him because he's actually won it and he's gone now. But that's kind of the toxic side to the football as well that I don't like, especially a young 18-year-old. He's lucky he's not getting the abuse that everyone's just like, oh, well done and everything. But it can go either way. Do you know what I mean?
We were talking about that a little bit before, that you'd expect maybe a little bit of abuse from people watching Love Island, but you're used to it because you play inter-county football and you seem to get, all inter-county footballers get dogs abuse on social media.
Yeah, I was saying earlier, obviously, that, like, say myself, I'd say give up 3 or 4 days of my week straight after teaching in the car from Dublin all the way down to Galway, train back up at like 12:30 or 1 a.m, doing that 3 or 4 nights a week, no payment, like, we're just doing it for the love of the game, doing it from basically end of November to, depending on how far you go, maybe July. And then the fact that you're doing that all free will, like, only incentive is to win in All-Ireland, and there's people giving you abuse and abuse just because you might have a bad game or something. I think it's just ridiculous because you're not trying to have a bad game. Like, you know what I mean? You're just doing your best for your county, and you might have a bad game here and there. You might make a mistake. But the abuse you get, I think, to lads who are just giving their all for the game and not being paid is just, it's ridiculous, I think. Yeah.
Have you come to deal with that yourself?
A little bit, not too much. Obviously, as a fullback, I don't do much. Like, you know what I mean? I wouldn't be an important player. I'm just in the background chilling, whereas like the likes of Shane or those boys, like, obviously they're like kept a really high standard because they're so good. So if there's one game they don't fire as well as normally, everyone's online saying, oh, they're useless, drop them. I just think, like, what are you at? Like, you go on the pitch there and show us what you can do. So, like, do you know what I mean?
You've come back, you've played one game for Barna, for club already.
Yeah.
Have you gotten any abuse on the pitch about your exploits?
No, nothing, like, but, like, I'm sure I will in the next game against Saltill. I know Rob will be chirping in my ear, but I've got nothing bad, to be fair. Like I know in football people can say a bit of things, but even if they did, it wouldn't really bother me. I'm sure I will in the next game. But again, I'll just be laughing as well, like, so it doesn't matter.
You stayed, were you managing to do any training in the villa? Like, with a football or anything?
Because it's a long time.
That's because there is no gym. Like, there is a gym, but it's tiny. To use the pull-up bar, you have to go on your knees to use it. And then the tricep dip bar, you have to, like, go under it to use it. And there's, like, maybe 4 or 5 sets of weights, which it's just not really feasible. And then for running, it'd be me and Simba and sometimes Tommy. And we'd just be running laps in the thing. But, like, it's really slippy as well, so you can't go at a good pace. You can't really sprint. So we were just doing laps and laps and laps. And we only did that a few days because it is so hot as well. Like, do you know what I mean? But, yeah, I don't think it stood to me at all. But preparing the club game last year, I wasn't too bad. I wasn't out of breath too much. So I think that's good that all the county training has stood to me still.
Do you know why they got rid of the gym?
Well, no, there's still...
Well, sorry.
A type of gym.
I know,
there.
But they used to show the whole like gym setup and there'd be scenes.
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I don't know. Maybe we're just in too good shape. They just don't want us getting better. I don't know. Maybe people were spending too much time there. They want more chats or something. I'm not really sure, to be honest.
Yeah.
Is that a thing in Love Island that you might be off doing something or you're not having interesting conversations and they would like push you to a corner and be like, come on, talk about something that's going on in the villa?
No, not really. Like, you'll have downtime, kind of. So there'd be maybe an hour or two chatting or stuff. Okay. And then they'd be like, right, it's downtime now. So you can't, boys and girls are separate and you can't talk to the girls, talk about island life. And that's where we'd be having the crack, playing like American football in the pool or playing limoncello, which is like a game with chairs set up in the middle and you have plates and like a plastic lemon. We're playing like tennis kind of over it. And that's good crack. But no, if we were supposed to be talking to people, we wouldn't be allowed to do that at the time, no.
What is there anything that you're really wondering about? Like, are you thinking about how Galway are getting on while you're in there?
I was actually, this sounds probably bad, but the thing I was thinking about the most was the kids in my class, how they're getting on, because I felt so bad leaving them at the graduation, confirmation, sports day, everything. Like, I think when you spend whatever 5 days a week with the kids, whatever, like, you form a good bond with them, and I think missing them that much was just, that was tough enough for me because I was keeping up to date. It's like, oh no, they're graduating today, I'm not even there. But in the airport, I did get to make a video for them before, and I just sent it to them to play on the day. With the Galway scores, I knew the days they were playing the games. I didn't know who they had, though. But I was like, oh, surely they're here. Yeah, I'm sure they won this game. But yeah.
Have you seen any of the kids from your class since you've come back?
No, I haven't seen them. Be obviously on social media commenting on loads of stuff, but I'm actually going to go visit them once school starts back in secondary school and just go over and pay them a visit and see how they're getting on. Yeah.
Can I ask you actually about teaching? We had, you know, Donny Smith from Roscommon.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a teacher as well. We had a really interesting conversation with him while you were in the Villa.
I actually saw it, yeah.
Yeah, about the why teachers, you know, GA players obviously are teachers quite commonly, and there's an onus on teachers to have love for it and really care about it because it has such an impact on young people. Do you kind of feel the same way as Donny in that it is important that you love teaching?
Yeah, 100%. Like, if I would only do a job if I liked doing it. So like, I actually find with teaching when it comes to the weekend, I hate the weekend. I just want to get in Monday, see what they're doing, what they've been up to. Like, but I know I'd agree with him. Like, I actually do think like with teaching, it's actually mad that I get paid for doing it because I love it so much. Like, I find it mad. That's why it was actually tough to go into the Villa because I actually didn't want to leave the kids because they were all crying and upset on the day I was going and stuff. So it made me feel a bit guilty, but no, I do love doing it. And I will be back teaching at some stage, even if it's just subbing here and there just to get a feel of it. Like, do you know what I mean? But no, I think if you, any job, if you don't love it, I wouldn't bother doing it. Like, do you know?
Yeah. Because it's almost, I don't know what it's actually like for GA players, but it feels like they're almost encouraged to go down that path because it suits the GA schedule. And Donny was making the point that that's kind of wrong to do that because it is such an important job. Yeah.
No, you wouldn't want someone in there teaching who has no interest in the kids or actually getting to know them. I feel not a lot of teachers, but I think some teachers would be more kind of, you know, just do it by the book, not getting to know the kids. And I think like the most important thing in the classroom is form a relationship with them first. Like, the education isn't even number one for me. It's form a relationship so they trust you and they can talk to you and stuff. And then number two is probably education, making sure they're friends and they fit in and stuff. So like, I think just make sure they have a good time in there is kind of the priority. And if you're a teacher who's just going and opening the books and, right, do this, they're not going to learn from that at all, I don't think. So you need to have a love for it.
And you're going to go back, obviously you mentioned maybe subbing. So what are your plans? I mean, it's probably too early to tell, but are you going to give the whole influencer thing a little bit of a whack and then just see what happens, or?
I will give it a go. We'll give it a crack, yeah. yeah, no, we'll give it a crack. I have a few things lined up that I can't say yet, but a few nice things. I can't really say anything else about it. But there's a good few things coming up that are nice to you and they're lined up. So I'm just going to take most opportunities that come my way. I do like the kind of TV route and stuff and doing a bit of that kind of thing. So, yeah.
And do you think you'll move over to the UK? I mean, we seem to see everybody who comes out. No?
No.
Okay.
No. I loved coming back to Ireland. Like, it's just so nice, familiar. And driving. I just love driving around the place. And over there, like, it's just traffic everywhere. I was actually getting car sick in the back of Ubers all the time. So that's just one thing I love, for being able to kind of do what I want to do over here. I know where everything is. It's kind of familiar to me. And as well, Lola's buzzing to move here.
Really?
We went out to Aran Islands there last week. Had a lovely day out, and she just loves it over here as well. So now she doesn't like the weather too much.
She's getting good weather at the moment.
I know, but she's currently, like, she sent me a picture today and she's in Kent. That's where she's from, and it's like close to the border of France or whatever. And they, like, sometimes her phone connects to like the French, whatever. So she's literally on the beach now chilling like 30 something degrees. So she's not going to like this.
Send her a picture. It's about 28 degrees outside.
I know,
today.
But there's no sun at all. Yeah. Like, it's just humid.
It is, yeah.
You're sweating walking around. It's dirt, like.
Speaking of Lola, I did want to ask you, obviously, about the whole Giulia Lorenzo situation. Have you seen each other since coming out of the Villa? Like, what have the vibes been like?
We were at the Love Island, what's it called, after party thing, or the reunion shows. And we met everyone there. I'd obviously be very good friends with Lorenzo. So I met him. I was chatting loads. Met Julia. I just said hi to her, whatever. She's like, thanks for all the Irish support or whatever. Like, it's like, no problem. Lola met her, said hi and everything. So it wasn't a long conversation, but it was grand. But I was chatting to Lorenzo a good bit, to be fair. And yeah, he's hilarious. He's going to come over at some stage as well. He'll have to go into Coppers as well.
People will go mad.
Yeah. They don't want to show much on the show of how much we were chilling together and stuff. But like, he learned the whole Horse Outside song. Like, he knows so much stuff.
No way.
Like, I wish they had shown that bit, because he said, obviously, he wants to be a DJ. He's going to, the first song is going to be that DJ remix of Horse Outside, he was saying.
You need to get that up on TikTok.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. It'll be funny. And he wants to make a music video as well. So it'll be an interesting one.
Were you surprised, like, or was it as spicy as we obviously saw on TV, the whole situation, or was it a little bit more chill actually in person?
No, it wasn't. I didn't. That's why when I came out, I had no clue what was going on.
Okay.
Because in there, it was annoying, but it wasn't, I wouldn't say it was the biggest drama ever. It was just basically Yulia and Lola had a difference of opinions, and then they squashed it, but Yulia just kept going up to Lola, bringing it up again and again and again and again and again. I don't know what was shown, because I remember I was just watching a bit back and it showed one clip. I think Yulia was saying like that Lola was trying to squash it loads, but nobody had seen any of that. So like,
Yeah.
It's kind of like, where was that kind of in it? So, no, she just tried to squash it loads and Yulia just kept coming up trying to reignite it. And that's really all it was. So it wasn't that deep, I don't think. But obviously from the outside, it looked deep enough. Like,
did they kind of, the producers, did they say that to you, that that can happen? That you can get, like, they're not going to tell you that you'll get a bad edit, but that stuff will go out that might not fully represent what's going on. Are you aware that that might happen?
Well, I suppose before you go in, they just said, like, it's a TV show. Mm. Like, you'll only see an hour of 24 hours, so yeah, that's what will be shown. So I think you just kind of take it with that with a pinch of salt, don't you?
Yeah.
We ever worried about, especially because it mightn't be as a good reflection of what's happening in there, but what your family might think. Is that when we talked to Connor Phillips, he said that
his mom
was like, oh, please do not go on this show. What was your family's reaction?
But like, obviously I think back in the day, like when you used to watch it, you could see people having sex and everything. I was like, are you going on that show where people have sex? I was like, no, I'm not going on. It's like, it's not Orgy Island. Like, it's just normal stuff. They don't do that anymore. And I said, obviously, as a teacher, I'm not doing any of that stuff. So whenever me and Lola are in bed, I was like, whenever we kiss, we're staying above the cover so everyone can see we're doing nothing else. Like, and that was it. But yeah, I don't know what other people got up to, but there was definitely a few noises going around the place anyways, which is disturbing when you're trying to sleep anyways.
Oh.
Yeah. What? A lot of it is just Priya snoring, though, to be honest. It's actually not even that deep.
Priya?
Priya is the biggest snorer ever. Really? Oh, my God.
You're outing her here.
No, she said it before, okay, so I can say it now. She's a lovely girl, but the snoring sometimes a bit much.
Simba had that nightmare at that time. Was that a common occurrence of him just waking up in the middle of the night screaming?
Oh, that fella. He comes out with some iconic quotes. He's so funny.
He's like, amazing.
Yeah, I wasn't in when that happened. Or no, I was in when that happened. But I only watched back up when it came out. And it's so funny watching him just scream. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, he just come out with some crazy one-liners, to be fair to him. Like, you know, like, do it again.
Oh, that's
the funniest one, I think. Or never said sis was perfect. He just has so many good one-liners, like. And he's walking away. Normally he has an argument. He just kind of struts away on that.
He does,
like,
have a strut.
Yeah, just muttering away to himself.
Got a bit of swag, like.
And tell me, I'm also curious, like, the GA community as a whole, you've said it's been positive from teammates and all that crack, but did you feel that they were a little bit like, what's going on? Because I know when we spoke to Connor about the rugby, he certainly felt like just the way he kind of expressed himself and the character he was, it wasn't maybe fully welcome in some of the rugby environments he was in. And when he went on the show, that then there was definitely some talk about it and that kind of stuff. But overall, like, obviously teammates and stuff were very happy. But did you feel that at all? Like, I'm just curious about the GA community versus kind of that rugby community.
Probably haven't been back long enough to know. I'd say I'll find out soon enough. I'd say there's loads of lads that'll be looking at me being like, oh, the fucking Egypt, like, why is he going on that? I'd say there'd be loads of them like that, but whether that's just jealousy or just kind of, I don't know what, like, it could be anything. Like, they might just hate the show, or they might just not like someone doing that. They might think it's for idiots or something, but like, I just don't care what people think, so they can say whatever they want. It's not going to affect me. But so far, I haven't got anything bad. Like, to be honest, like, even if you were playing a match and someone said something, they don't want to be saying that in the game, like, after they'd be dead on with you as well. But one thing I can't stand in life is two-faced people. So if I hear someone saying something bad about me, then trying to be nice to me, I won't speak to them ever. I'll just walk away. And I'll never explain to them why. They should just know why. Like, I just can't stand two-faced people. Like, but so far, so good.
Yeah. And even before you went in, like, obviously you did the TikToks and like, just, you were a little bit more active than maybe some of the other players. Was that always just like, people were like, oh, that's good crack? Or was there ever any like, oh, he's a little bit different. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I've definitely got some abuse on the pitch for like a bit of TikToks and stuff. Like, oh, go make a video about that or something. I'm like, I will, yeah, Grant. Like, sounds like it actually just doesn't bother me at all. Like, I do it because I love doing it. I don't care what people think. Like, Shaney does a bit of the stuff on social media as well, so he knows what it's like. So I've never had to chat to him about it. If I was ever feeling a certain way, I could go to him and talk. Or there's definitely a few other lads out there, but I do think anyone who plays Gaelic football, I think people just expect you just do football. Don't go outside the norm. So I think anyone who does anything a bit different, they get slandered for it, they get abused and stuff. And I just think, like, why? I just don't understand why you get abused. Like, people can do more than one thing in their life. Like, and even if it is putting up a silly TikTok video, like, what harm is, like, if you're still performing on the pitch, what does it matter? Like, if you were doing that and then playing terribly all the time or something, like, fair enough. But, like, that I didn't think that was the case. So, yeah.
We've heard, especially this year, a lot of GA players saying that they don't like speaking to the media because if they talk to the media in the run-up to an All-Ireland final, just about the team in general, like, nothing bad, and then they have a brutal game, they'd feel like there's a real pressure on them because they were speaking during the week.
Yeah.
Do you think that's something that, like, we just need to look at in general to be like, it's okay to chat. Like, it's not like you're coming on slandering your team or anything. Just come on and be a little bit of yourself.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people like speaking at all from what I've seen, or when they do, it's very like kind of NPC vibes. Like, they're not really giving their full personalities across. And I think if you want a bit of personality, you should be asking them different fun questions, or I don't know what. I think we're just afraid to say the wrong thing. Like, even if I was doing an interview for about Gaelic, I'd probably be a bit more serious just because it is serious, but try a little bit jokey. But I think a lot of people are just too kind of one-line answer, a bit boring and stuff, and they don't get people's real personalities as well. Mm-hmm. And I think if people watch and saw a bit of the players' personalities and stuff, you connect with them a bit more and stuff. But I think it's just the fear of just, I don't know what it is. Actually, I don't know, I was getting abuse maybe or something. The fear of getting abuse, I think, to be honest, is what it is.
Because we see it. Like, I've covered a good few of the day after the All-Ireland finals now, like between this year and last year, and the players are so open. They're talking about the year. They're saying, we knew we were going to do this, and they're chatting, and you can see so much of their characters. And then, you know, as soon as it comes to the first round of the league, it's going to be like, well, we respect all our opposition.
It's all back to square one again. Yeah,
you know, but I can totally understand why they're doing that as well, because you saw Alan Connolly came out this year.
I was going to say,
for, you know, the Cork hurler, and he said,
I haven't seen what he did, don't know.
He just said in an interview that we want to win the league, we want to win the Munster Championship, and we want to win the All-Ireland final, which I think is a fair comment. Yeah. You know, they'd won two out of three the year before, and they'd only just lost the All-Ireland final. And he got slayed at first. The minute Cork lost the league, they lost to Munster, and they were kicked out the semi-final. Everyone on, like, oh, has anyone shown this to Alan Connolly? So I understand why players aren't doing it.
That's the toxic side to it. Like, that's why people don't. But again, like, what's wrong with saying you want to win the league if you're a good team as well and you've been like close to that stage all the time? If you're saying that kind of stuff, like,
everyone
there's
wants
nothing
to win.
Wrong
it's actually
Man United or like Liverpool, they're not going like, oh, we don't want to win the league this year, do you know?
Yeah.
You're also going to like, no, we want to win it. Like, so
it's actually great insight into the camp, like, and what they're thinking. He's just saying what everyone else is thinking, really.
Yeah. I think before teams, I know a lot of teams have had social media bans and stuff, and I wasn't a big fan of those. I remember we had it before, but it was only kind of 2 weeks before a game. Just means you couldn't post anything on social media.
Really?
Yeah, we've had that before, but loads of teams have done that before. It wasn't just us, but it was a good few years ago. I can't remember when, but like, me personally, I wouldn't have been a big fan of that. Like, but we had a vote, and sure, whatever happens, happens. But again, I think with like with an amateur sport as well, I think it's a bit wild, especially if, say, like me, Shaney, Damer, there's a few of us that make money off doing it. Like, you know, that could be your job. And the fact you're not allowed to do that can be a bit much. But to be fair, they were lenient. They said, oh, if you do need to post a video, like, just come to us and say, we know if it's whatever. So they were actually sound about it. I think it's more that, you know, coming up to a big game, if you post something on social media, I don't know, let's say you're out with the lads golfing or something, I don't know, and then there's a game at the weekend, people will be like, oh, well, they were out golfing during the week, that's why they play bad. So, like, I think that's why they did that. So I can understand that. Like, it makes sense to me. So I think it's not the worst rule in the world, but I think it was more just kind of be careful what you're posting in the lead up to a game, which is fair. Like, do you know what I mean?
Do you think it's gotten worse in GA, like the involvement of social media, in that the sport is getting more and more popular, but it's almost this kind of football fanfare has seeped into it a little bit? Football isn't soccer.
Yeah, people aren't afraid to say what they think anyways. But again, I haven't seen too much. Like, I think it's, like, when I play games and stuff, I do go on social media and read a bit after and stuff. I have no issue with doing that. Like, again, I don't care if I get abused. Like, I kind of just want to see what people are thinking. And sometimes I actually go home with mom and we'll read through the comments and start laughing how stupid these people are with some of the things they're saying. Like, you're like, I won't even say the examples, but you're like, what? Are they watching the same game? Or it's just actually, it's like kind of, it's just, if you want to laugh, you'll just read Facebook comments because people haven't a clue. And it just does give you a bit of a giggle, like, see their perspective.
Not to deep it too much, obviously, but do you think, like, you being able to be out there and show your character and show that you are a little bit different might help in the future generations of footballers coming up, that, you know, there's someone as an example of, like, I don't have to follow this rigid path of, like, football is my life and I have to portray a certain picture. I can be a little bit different. I can show my character and that's going to be all right. Like,
I think it's all right, but I'm lucky that with, like, Pork and all the management so far, like, even when I was doing TikToks at the start, I was a bit afraid, like, oh, would they be accepting of it? But they think they're hilarious and they're like, I know you do you, like, do you know what I mean? So they've always been so sound, all the teammates never had an issue and everything, do you know what I mean? So I'm lucky with Galway, but I do know other teams where lads have, like, been dropped for doing social media and stuff. So I think that's very unfair and makes no sense to me. I won't say who, like, but yeah, they got dropped for posts and stuff on social media, which I think is just ridiculous.
I know who you're talking about.
Nothing too bad, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just think that's a bit much, like, do you know?
Does the culture need to shift a little bit then? Like, do you think?
I think hugely. I think if it's not affecting your team in any way. Like if it's just a few videos, you're having the crack, just going out, doing a few videos, even if it's just you doing like, I don't know, a food review or something, like how is that going to have a negative impact on your team? Like, do you know what I mean? Or if it's just something simple like that. I get if you're out going around beating someone up or something crazy, like really bad, like that's valid reason not to be having them on the team or something like that or on the panel. But I think overall people shouldn't be afraid of posting on social media and just going for what they want. I think a lot of people are, in Ireland especially, it's really, they care what people think so much. And like, you'll see it like even on Love Island, like say, sometimes I'd be wearing like clothes that, and I was like, if I walked around in Galway with those, the abuse you get, like even, I'm wearing a vest today, I would never wear a vest in my life. Like, but like, I'm just kind of, like, I just don't care what people think. If people don't like the vest, you don't like it. You know what I mean?
The hair, a good example of that?
Yeah, listen, yeah. We'll give you a look at the hair. Oh, there. It's beautiful. Little polka dot, but I said I'd look a bit respectful today, so a vest and a cap.
Has Love Island helped that, like, a little bit? Like, you said you've never worn a vest before. Do you feel, like, more just, like, I don't care, multiply by 10, I'm just going to be me?
Yeah, I've always been like that, obviously, doing the TikToks and stuff, but it's definitely increased a little bit more, because, like, who'd go around with this haircut, you know what I mean? Like, But I remember in secondary school, I think I went to TY and I was like, right, this is a year where I'm just going to do anything that comes up. Doesn't matter what it is, I'm just going to do it, because it just builds confidence and you'll never get nervous, you don't care. So I think I did poetry aloud, which is nothing. I do stand up and say a poem in front of loads of people. I did singing in a talent show with one of the lads. We sang All I Want by Codeline. We came second, actually didn't win, but we came second. There was like a short movie we made. I said, oh yeah, put me in for that. Just interviews with like charities. Just everything. I was like, yeah, I want to do it. And it builds so much confidence. So I think with opportunities like that, especially in school when you're young, it does build confidence. And it's a good idea too, because now I'll do anything. I couldn't care less. Like,
you did a music video and was it in
the Jesus.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That was another example of something. Yeah. That was around the same time I did an Irish music video. Again, that's not something I'd want to be doing, but I was like, you know, just go for it.
Why not? Yeah.
As a bit of crack, I saw it resurface as well. But listen, big up the Irish, so. Not complaining.
I actually wanted to ask you about the Irish language. You're obviously a teacher, so you would practice it very often. Like, we had Daragh Conaghy and Brian Bioglick on the show not so long ago, and they were speaking about, they were obviously both from Gaeltacht and Kerry, and they were speaking about how important it is to the club and to themselves, and that it's their first language for them personally. What does it kind of mean to you, and how much of your life would it occupy, if that makes sense?
I'd say a lot, to be honest. Obviously, I'm from an Irish-speaking place, Furbo, in Galway. So I went to an all-Irish primary school to speak Irish. If you go up to the... Worked in the pub, and not everyone there would speak Irish, but some of the locals come in and they really appreciate it when you can just converse in Irish. Even people coming in, like a lot of American tourists come in and they'd be asking about the Irish. You'd be giving them a few fuckle here and there. But then even into secondary school, that's when it kind of changed for me, because I went to an English-speaking secondary school, and like standard of Irish, like they drop it down to proper like, I don't know, first class Irish and then all Irish speaking school. So that's where I kind of lost a little bit. Like I say, I was better speaking Irish in sixth class than I am now. But even, I suppose, for TG Carr, watching the matches, you want to know what's going on. So I'd be listening to a lot of that. I did do a documentary with TG Carr last year, like Gloon Z, just kind of about my life or what I've been doing with the Gaelic, the teaching and everything. And they were in the classroom filming me with the kids and stuff. So I do think it's important to kind of spread language, because I think it is dying a little bit. I think it's nice that we're kind of resurrecting it, even if it is Yulia just roasting someone with Pogue Mahone. But now everyone knows what it means. You know what
actually,
I mean?
It makes a difference. Yeah.
A lot of people know what it means now and stuff. So at least we've done one good thing. Probably not the best expression ever, but sure. Look,
a lot of people watching that might not have even realised we have an Irish language.
No, they always call it Gaelic as well. Like,
it drives me nuts.
Yeah. Or Gaelic, like, they're, oh, you speak Gaelic? No, speak Irish. Yeah. And I've been saying that to everyone as well. But obviously, living in Dublin, I don't hear Irish much at all. I only hear it kind of when I go back to Galway. And even at that, not too much. You'd have to go proper back west to hear a bit of it.
But do you find yourself looking for it in Dublin? Like going to certain pubs and listening to certain music?
Yeah, I do. I love Dublin. I love Galway. So I've kind of, you know, Hannah Montana, the best of both worlds. So like, I like being in Dublin for the teaching, and there's so much to do, like activities and all that. But then going home to Galway at the weekends and just the nice being beside the sea and just going to Black Rock swimming. Little seven chicken wings, I always say that, but like there's so much to do there. And then Dublin, see, I wouldn't be big into the pubs as such. Like, I'm more of a white girl music dancing kind of vibe, like Coppers, or even we tried
Coppers.
You know, Cafe and Sen.
Oh yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
37 Dawson Street, they're more like bougie Coppers.
Yeah,
so I've tried to go down that route as well. But they're both good. I do love just normal kind of trad music and stuff. And Like I played a button accordion and stuff. If there was a talent show on the Love Island, I was going to pull that out, like a bit more Irish stuff.
Yeah, that's but a pity you didn't get to do that. Yeah. Showing them another bit of
nice
culture
as well, like just a bit of something different, because I don't think they didn't even really know what a button accordion was or anything like that. So yeah, it would have been nice to do that, but obviously you can't do it now.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day. I'm not going back on though.
No, do you think like if you know, knowing everything you know now, would you have signed up?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%. Sure. I found Lola as well, which is obviously a W. Oh, yeah. But as well, like, it was just a really good experience. It's opened my eyes to even, just even there's more to life than football, even, is one thing. Like, and I do love football, but it just shows that it's not everything. Like, do you know what I mean? Mm. And just kind of that, I don't know. Yeah, you just take opportunities that come your way. And yeah, I definitely don't regret it anyways. No.
What would the dream next 6 months look like for Fitzy?
Oh, my dream would be I'm a Celeb, get me out of here, honestly. But that's like
Stanton Deck.
That's really like setting the bar up here. Like I'd be happy with a TG Carr thing, but you know what I mean? Like that'd be shooting for the stars. Like I would just love to, because I hate creepy crawlies, hate all the stuff. Sleeping outside in Castle Moor was horrible. I saw spider ones, I almost shit myself. So I think it'd be funny. And I think in there, like Love Island, they only show drama, but I feel like in there they just show personalities. Do you know what I mean? They're not really like trying to get people to go against each other. Well, hopefully not anyways. But yeah, that'd be the dream, I think.
Looking down the TV route, so still.
Yeah, TV route, yeah, definitely. Or even setting up a kind of podcast, a few lads, or even Lola doing a two-person cut type thing, I think it would be nice as well, or even both. But yeah, no, definitely TV, social media is definitely where I'm going to go this year anyways.
Are you going to keep playing the football as well?
It's so hard to know, because again, it is, well, it depends if I stay in Dublin, probably will stay in Dublin. Again, that's 4 days a week or whatever, up and down. And I don't know, I'm not 100% sure yet. But again, that's, I won't have to sell it for another few months, so I'd say in a few months I'll probably know closer time what I'll do. But
would you have travelled with Shane Walsh all the time when you were playing?
No, he was living in different parts. So him, Keane Darcy, he'd always be going together. It'd be the three of us, so them two and myself. But I was going by myself, and I actually do prefer driving by myself, because I think it's the only time of the day I get like time to myself.
Yeah.
So I actually, not that I wouldn't like being with them, they're always good crack, but sometimes you just want a bit of downtime, listen to my podcast and stuff and just chill out, because like I know people, like it actually would be a bit overwhelming sometimes not actually have enough time to myself. Yeah. Like I remember doing teaching placement especially. That's when it was so difficult, because the amount of lesson plans you do. Mm-hmm. I'd say there was three nights in a row I didn't even sleep, like, and I'd be up and down, like, which is kind of dangerous on the road as well. Do you know what I mean? Like when you're almost falling asleep.
Correct, yeah.
But like I remember an inspector come in and talk to me and like watch me do my lesson. And first thing she said to me when I was done was, she didn't even say like, oh, that was good. She said, are you okay? Because she could see that I was just so wrecked and so draining. And I just think as well, the teaching course, I think the kind of like the amount you have to do is just ridiculous. It's nothing like when you actually teach. So anyone who's doing teacher training, it gets better. Like,
okay.
If I could do it again, I wouldn't do the course. I would do arts and then 2 years of the course, because 4 years is way too much. Like, okay. I was burning out the whole time. Got sick a few times already from doing too much. But that's with the football as well.
Mm.
Don't have a social life. I literally just broke down crying because there was just so much going on. Like with that inspector, and it was just too much. So yeah, I can't imagine what other people are going through. It is tough, like, yeah. But yeah. Now I love it because it's not that bad. I do have days off here and there, and the lesson plans aren't too bad at all. Like, they're just your monthly plans, or you know what you're teaching. Whereas for some reason, you have to have everything in detail, like every single lesson for every single day. But I mean, stuff in it that just makes no sense. And even during the course, you do assignments on stuff that I can't even remember and that made no sense and just was so pointless. Like, they don't actually teach you how to teach children. Like, do you know what I mean? Which is kind of important. They do little bits, but nothing like, it's all just, you just learn yourself. You actually would type on TikTok, funny activities, blah, blah, that's where you get your stuff. And right. I'd just be making up stuff myself, games and stuff. So yeah.
It's a bit outdated probably, is it?
Very. Well, from when I was there, I thought it was quite outdated. Like,
yeah.
I was thinking, why am I going to this? What am I getting from this? But listen, I remember going into like my first day of placement when there wasn't much lesson plans. And I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Okay.
So that's what kind of got me through it. Yeah.
Before we wrap up, you know, you were speaking about Kobe McDonald earlier. Mm. I know you've played other sports, like you've played rugby, you play soccer. Would the AFL, that kind of professional sports life, ever appeal to you?
See, it's funny you say professional because it feels like I am professional already, but it's not like, it actually isn't like, so for the likes of himself and stuff, like if that comes knocking at your door, I don't see why you wouldn't even consider like you're doing the same thing you do, but you're getting paid. And I know not everything's about money, it's not like, but if you are thinking about your future, about kids, family, all that stuff, is Gaelic going to get you there? Not really. Like, you might get a sponsored car, maybe the odd brand deal, but realistically, it's not going to do that much financially. But again, it's not about finances and stuff. Like, you do it for the love of the game. So it's kind of everyone's own individual perspective, and he's won an All-Ireland, he can do what he wants now, do you know what I mean? So his situation's a bit different to other people, like, do you know what I mean? He's living life, he's only 18, like, and he's everything completed, like, do you know what I mean? So I'd be interested in it, yeah, 100%, yeah. It looks like a bit of crack. Oisín Mullins flying it over there as well. I see him on my For You page every day just saying, like, he's the best over there and stuff. So, like,
that's crazy.
She's Mayor flying it.
What was the reaction to the lads in the villa when you, like, explained what the sport is and, like, how the whole thing works?
See, it was annoying because I didn't have a football with me, so I couldn't even teach them. So I had a plastic lemon trying to solo the ball and stuff. And
did that go out as a clip? I think I saw this.
Oh, did it?
I think, or maybe was it after the villa you were teaching a couple of
lads?
Oh,
that was after. I was teaching them with the football, Opie and Tommy.
Yeah.
But some of them actually were like, geez, I'd definitely be able to do that. Like, Sam Raj is convinced he'd be the best Gaelic footballer in the country. Like, and he's always going on about, because he was like, who's the best player? I was like, oh, probably David Clifford's probably the best in the country. And he didn't even forget the name. Every time we'd talk, he'd be like, I'm going to be next David Clifford. Like, just walking around and stuff. Like, and he'd be walking, I'd say, I'm David Clifford and stuff. So, no, it was funny. Teaching them the rules was kind of confusing because obviously I didn't even explain the two-point arc, because I said I'd explain the normal stuff first. Yeah. And then I brought in the two-point arc and they were like, geez, this sounds like a mad game. They're like, oh, they'll come over and watch game next year and stuff. And even the charity game I played last week, they want to be involved in the next one just for a bit of crack. So listen, again, showing everyone what the Irish is about. Do you know what I mean?
You heard it here first. Get Sam Raj.
Get Sam Raj.
On a Gaelic football pitch.
Yes.
That's your
Galway
first podcast,
not a Kerry jersey. Yeah. Galway jersey.
All right. Amazing. Well, I think we're pretty much wrapped up.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And it's important to say, as always, that Word on the Street is on Off the Ball with Braeburn. From refreshing iced mochas to smooth iced oat lattes, whatever the weather, Braeburn Coffee has you covered, made for your summer. Have you ever had a Braeburn coffee?
Never had coffee.
What?
No, never had tea or coffee.
So you're just this hyped naturally?
I'm just tapped. Oh, yeah.
All right, amazing. Well, thank you so much, Fitzy, for coming on.
No, thanks for having me.
And for everyone listening, we'll see you next week.
Word on the Street on Off the Ball
with Braeburn. Whatever the weather, Braeburn Coffee has you covered,
made for your summer.
Hello and welcome along to Word on the Street, the Classica.
There we go.
Yeah, way better.
I will preface this by saying I was in the throes of a fever.
Well, I think it's like the death of football. Funeral bell.
This is probably the worst recency bias of all time.
I say Boxing Day.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Is there a problem? Absolutely. Is it shite? Absolutely. Will you watch it? Absolutely.